This is the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. I have talked over the last several months about the future of driverless cars, particularly the work that Google is doing in the streets of Mountain View, California, testing out technology that allows the car to drive with virtually or absolutely no input from the driver. But there are people at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor who are working on different technology for cars, or maybe it's complementary. It is technology that allows the cars to talk to each other on the roadway. This is a project that the University of Michigan's Transportation Research Institute, and Debbie Bezina is the assistant program manager for the project. Debbie, welcome to the Big 550.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So are you trying to outdo Google here, or is this some technology that eventually will merge with theirs and we'll all get in the car and it will just take us where we want to go?
I think eventually they'll merge. But really, you know, Google is looking at autonomous vehicles, and I'm looking at connected vehicles, so vehicles that talk to each other. And then also, you know, I view when they do become, start working together, that they'll be automated vehicles, because since they do talk to each other, they're no longer autonomous.
Okay. Why do they need to talk to each other?
Well, I think that the first application that we'll see of an automated vehicle will be connected not only with each other, but with the infrastructure. So I view that the first application will be something along the lines of, I take my car out, I pull it on the freeway, I get into this special automated lane, and then that's it's sort of like an HOV lane.
Yep.
And then that's where the car will be taken over. So I view that as both you need it for vehicle-to-vehicle and vehicle-to-infrastructure communications.
Oh, so the road and the car are going to talk to each other as well.
Yes.
What information will my car be able to glean from the road? We'll get back to car-to-car in a moment, but I'm curious about this part where the road is giving information to the car like what?
Well, right now, we're using it for warning systems, but the information that it gets from the road is upcoming road geometry. So it will tell the driver if they're going too fast for an upcoming curve. We also use signal phase and timing, which is on an intersection that has, you know, a traffic control signal. So it is sending out information about that signal to say that it's green for the through lane for the next 20 seconds. And you can do all sorts of applications with that, particularly like green intersections. So you can tell the driver, hey, if you maintain 35 miles per hour, you're going to make the light. You don't have to slow down. You don't have to speed up. And so you're sort of optimizing your fuel economy.
Will it know if I do 35 or 45 miles an hour on this road, I'm going to get all green?
Potentially it can do that.
Well, that's something I would like to have.
Me too.
<Yeah.
laughs> I also want the application where if there's nobody else in the area, that it'll turn the light green for me as I approach.
You know, I was just talking the other night to some friends. You know, you're out at night, and let's say you're out late at night. It's 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, and you're coming back to your neighborhood, and there's that traffic light that's red, and there's no one else around, and everybody thinks, well, I'm just going to go here. And of course, that's the night that the cop decided to monitor that corner, and you end up getting pulled over. Can't we get technology that changes that so that the corner knows, look, there's no one else around. Let me through.
Absolutely, and that's what this can do.
Nice. Now, what about the car-to-car communication?
So the cars are exchanging information about themselves, so nothing personal, but they're exchanging their vehicle position, their vehicle heading, their vehicle speed. They're like the length and width of their vehicle, so that you can perform threat assessments against that vehicle to determine if the driver needs to do anything differently or warn the driver. For instance, you can do forward collision warning or blind spot warning.
I love that phrase, a threat assessment about the other vehicles. You're seeing them all as threats?
Potentially.
So when you talk about like a collision avoidance system or something like that, well, again, let's say I'm in my car and I'm on the highway and I'm doing the legally posted speed limit along with everybody else, but all of a sudden a car, two or three cars ahead of me, jams on its brakes for whatever reason. A deer ran across the road, or you know, a mattress came off the back of a truck or whatever. I can't see that because there are still a couple of cars ahead of me. I'm not going to know that I have to hit my brakes until the person directly ahead of me, one car ahead of me, hits their brakes, and then I've got to react. Will the car know that sort of stuff so that I'll have earlier warning?
Absolutely. In fact, we have that particular application deployed right here in Ann Arbor. So we call it Emergency Electronic Brake Light.
Interesting. Now, so tell me more about what you're doing in Ann Arbor. Do you have volunteers who are driving around in vehicles you've equipped with your software?
Well, sort of. It's not really our software. We are a research organization. So our job was to be test conductor. So we have different types of devices out in the field, ranging from a vehicle awareness device that just transmits the basic safety message, so it's transmitting the vehicle speed and heading, but doesn't have any safety applications on board. And then we also currently have deployed aftermarket safety devices, both for passenger vehicles and commercial trucks, and those do have safety applications on those. The safety applications, though, were developed by the device manufacturers, so Denza, Coda Wireless, and Savari Networks.
Are the car manufacturers involved in your research?
They were at the beginning, so we're actually winding up safety pilot model deployment. We're going to move to a, instead of a model deployment, to an early operational deployment. But we, for safety pilot, CAMP was involved, so it's a consortium of 8 automobile manufacturers, and they each provided 8 vehicles per manufacturer that were deployed in safety pilot model deployment.
Are they looking at getting this technology into their cars in the next couple of years, or are we still decades away?
Oh, no. USDOT recently announced that they were going to move towards some type of a regulation, and that will be within the next few years.
Okay.
So the automotive manufacturers, they are, you know, I can't speak for all of them. I'm not an automotive manufacturer. We don't manufacture anything at the university. But, you know, they are seeing that this will be regulated and it will be required on all new vehicles at some point.
Have you heard from privacy advocates worried about the information that's getting out there, even if it's not my credit card number or my password to my website or anything else I want to access, but even just the information about where I am and where I'm going? There are a lot of people who don't want anyone to know that.
Yeah, they have voiced their concerns. However, all of the information that's transmitted is totally anonymous. So it doesn't say Debbie Bazina is at this location. It has an ID that rolls, so it's a temporary ID. And so even if you followed sort of a trail, that after a while you wouldn't be able to follow it anymore because the temporary ID would have changed. So it's, you can't even track a single vehicle.
So our cars are going to be able to talk to each other. Is my car going to be able to tell you, look, I want to move over one lane. Can you pull back a little bit? Or hey, I'm moving into your lane from your blind spot. Watch out. How detailed is the information going to be?
It's actually very detailed, but right now there isn't a message format that is an exchange of things you want the other vehicle to do. But it would never be out of the realm of possibility for something in the future. Right now, it's more of the threat assessment is on board my vehicle, and so my warning system is going to react to that. It's not going to, it reacts to information from the other vehicle, but that type of information isn't provided. It doesn't tell you anything other than the current heading of the vehicle, not its intent.
Now, I want to go back to the cars talking to the roads for just a second here, because I remember talking to a reporter who went and got inside of one of Google's driverless cars, mm-hmm. and was amazed that even when they were coming up to road construction with orange cones along the side of the road, the vehicle was able to assess what the situation was and move over a lane or two to get away from that. With your technology, you wouldn't need all the cameras and recognition software visually. The road could actually say, or the Department of Transportation, when they're doing the construction, could it tell the cars, hey, listen, in a quarter mile, you can't be in this lane anymore?
Yes, and they're starting to work on that a little bit more in earnest. So right now it's an idea that you have a site, and so it's transmitting that there is an upcoming construction zone. But what could be done is you can couple that with what we call a map message, and we do this on the signal phase and timing messages as well. So it's a geographic description. So you could send that out that this is what the zone looks like, and you know, here's where it starts, here's where it ends.
So what's the timeline for this? You mentioned a few years, but realistically, are we talking about 2015, 2016, starting to see these in consumer models? Or
I would think that you would see a significant rollout in about 2020 and a less of a rollout before then. So I think it'll be ramping and then really start a rollout in earnest in about 2020. But again, that's just an estimate. I'm not an automobile manufacturer or a tier one supplier.
Okay, but still, we're talking about only 6 years away. And at what cost do you think?
Again, because I don't manufacture the devices, I can't get you a definitive answer, but I can say this, that radar sensors we know are very expensive. Vehicle-to-vehicle communication is like a radio. So instead of broadcasting on the AM-FM band, I broadcast on the DSRC band, dedicated short-range communication band.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's more like a radio. Radios are in the hundreds of dollar ranges, not in the thousands of dollar ranges.
Right. Okay, so let's say this stuff gets in there in 5 or 6 years, and at the same time, Google is on their path, moving forward with driverless cars. Can you see a point where maybe 10 years from now, I get in my car and I tell it with voice commands, this is where I want to go, and then I take a nap?
You know, I'm not sure about 10 years, but I definitely do see it in my lifetime.
Sweet. Debbie, congratulations on the work so far, and good luck with it moving forward. I think you have something that could potentially be a real game changer here.
Thank you. Thank you again.
Debbie Bezina is the Assistant Program Manager for the University of Michigan's Transportation Research Institute.